Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today is May, March.
Definitely ain't May.
13?
It's the 15th. Beware the
Ides. Oh, today's the Ides of March?
Yep.
Damn, it is the 15th. Shit. All right, well.
Looking like February 28th.
Looking like January 3rd. So we just had a massive.
I thought we got. Well, we were just talking about how warm it was last week. I thought we got out.
Yeah. We had a big snowstorm here yesterday, but by all accounts, we got off lucky because
it was supposed to be a blizzard.
Way worse.
Well,
it's supposed to be double what we got.
It was a blizzard. It just wasn't in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a blizzard, my nigga. It's a very real blizzard.
Yeah, in other
places. So all you niggas that was laughing, and all these kids are so soft today, you know what? New York City may not have been hit. And it was hit. Like, let's not get it twisted.
It's still fucked up out there.
Yeah. But out in the outer boroughs, dude, like, there's still streets that they haven't even gotten to them yet.
Right. Yeah. And it ain't, from the weather report, it's not getting that warm for the next few days, so it ain't like it's going to melt.
It was freezing. No, the problem was, as it melted a little bit, it was freezing overnight.
It turned to ice.
Right.
So you had that black ice. Like, my entire driveway, you know, like, dude, like, I'm talking like 50, 60 pounds of salt. It's taking for me to put. Yeah, dude, like,
damn.
I go through a 50-pound bag of salt.
You do that by yourself?
At times, this time I had Carlos do it. If it's this much snow, I don't do it.
Yeah.
I call my guy and I just say, yo, just come make sure I'm out. And then he'll, you know, he puts me on a list and he'll come and, you know, they take care of me. Yeah, and then they lay the salt, but they have the machine as a truck.
Okay.
So he backs all the way up and then they just do the stairs manually.
Of course.
Then they spread the salt going through the driveway. But it's cold. It's still a lot of snow out there.
Yeah. It's nasty out there. It's whack out there. It's rock out there. So I'm glad everybody out there is safe and healthy and happy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess, are you going to Texas?
No,
I ain't going to Texas.
I'm going
either.
To Miami.
Well, that's lit.
Yeah. I'm going to Miami on Friday to get some sun and some rest.
Just for a long weekend?
Yeah.
You come back on Monday or Sunday?
On Monday night.
Okay, nice.
On Monday evening.
Good for you.
I'm just going to just get away. I don't have time to just chill. Yeah, I don't have time to take a full vacation right now, but I just need like a minute.
I got you. Just go chill out and drink a couple of drinks and
go to Prime 112, eat a steak.
Yeah, have some empanadas and
all
that
good
shit.
Yep.
Any shout outs to anybody?
Shout out to my, I'm late on this, but shout out to my mom. I totally forgot to shout out. Her birthday was March 5th, so I'm way late. But happy birthday, mom.
Happy birthday, mom.
I feel like I did have a shout out for somebody else, but it's escaping me, so it must not have been that important.
You got anything, bro?
No shout outs.
Me either. I ain't had no shout outs much lately. I ain't messing with you niggas lately.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is. I ain't even talking with no folks lately. Want to start off by mentioning, since I know y'all didn't watch it, this movie on Netflix called Burning Sands.
I did watch it.
Oh, you did watch it?
I watched it last night.
We know Nia's not going to ever watch it. She's boycotting it.
And you know, somebody was like, you should watch it just because your rant on the show would probably be hilarious. But I just know it's going to get my pressure up. Like, I know
Well, I'll say this, though. There's a couple, there's two AKAs at the gig and an Alpha.
And a Delta. Joy.
Oh, Joy wasn't there today. We had a conversation today.
Okay.
Joy's in Texas.
Okay.
So we had a conversation today. We all had watched it. Didn't even realize it, but everybody kind of watched it yesterday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see their little Netflix boost from yesterday.
Yeah.
But so we all talked about it. And the AKAs and the Alpha Cat, they actually enjoyed it. The guy who wrote the and directed
Wait,
the movie.
Wait, I have a question. When did these people pledge?
They're all younger than you.
Okay.
They're all probably mid to late 20s. So they probably pledged in the last 10 years, I would guess.
I feel like that might help.
The cat who wrote and directed the movie is a Q.
I know, he's an alpha type of Q.
He went to Howard, Joe McMurray. One of the cats from the gig, he's not a Greek, but he went to school with him.
Okay.
I'm sure there's probably subtle Q things. There was nothing subtle about that.
Them niggas was totally trying to be Q.
Yeah.
Even to the lighting in the movie where they tried to make their auburn purple.
True.
And I mean, I will say.
With the lighting inside the crowd.
Depending on stories you've heard and where you've been and what region you're in, Omegas do traditionally, their underground processes traditionally tend to be pretty strenuous.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah. I know stories.
The guys who pledge underground lines.
And for the record, no Divine Now organization, supports or consents to hazing of any kind. We do not condone hazing of any form whatsoever. But back in the day,
it was lit.
I knew of some people who went through some things.
Okay.
That were definitely not necessarily safe.
Okay.
But I think what concerns me about this movie, it's a couple of things. The first thing is that it's really hard to compress Greek life into just the pledge process for people who aren't Greeks. I think it really paints a distorted picture of what it means to be Greek. Because a lot of people who aren't Greeks do the whole, I ain't going to get my ass beat just to be friends with somebody, or I ain't paying money just to be friends with somebody.
Who's a nigga in office saying that today? But
yeah, and it's like,
that's not what it's about.
And it is true, though, that a fucked up pledge process does affect who you're going to be as a Greek. That's true. Because it's your incubation period.
And that is one of the things that they definitely alluded to in the movie, that the guys who were pledging these guys, you could tell they had been through shit.
Right.
And they was like, you had the one guy, the heavyset cat, who was a maniac, right? He was just whatever. So you had the dude from Power. The light skinned boy that plays in Power, the one who
Andre,
who
has
Power.
No,
I
don't watch Power. Okay, well,
I know Trevante Rose is in this.
But so that guy was the kind of guy who was like, he was hard body, but underneath you could tell he was, I have decent nigga, kind of. And then Trevante was the dean of the line, and he was the dude that was definitely about the frat, but he was decent.
Yeah. Right.
He was like, we're going to pledge you now. Don't get it fucked up.
Right.
But he would, at points, he would be like, yo, you niggas is doing too much.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And listen, I did not attend a HBCU. I'm not a Greek. So I am looking at this to some degree with some knowledge, but I am an outsider looking in.
Right.
As a movie, outside of Greek life.
Just the movie.
The movie was not good. It was not
from an entertainment factor.
Well, not necessarily an entertainment factor. From a writing factor, from sort of the way it was compressed. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that were sort of left
hanging.
Hanging, right. And you didn't quite understand. You have a great, you have Alfre Woodard. This is a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't really sort of explain what her connection is to that kid.
We talked about that in the...
It's just beyond my comprehension, right? We talked about that today. Right? Like, this is a powerful person here, mm-hmm. right? Like, so you want to have some screen time with her, sort of... You don't really know background. Why is she picking him?
Yeah, why is she... Him? Yeah, for looking at him like that.
You know, it's the movie is only about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah,
so
it's a short
movie. It's very compressed, and so... Right. You have a week compressed into 90 minutes. That's a very difficult thing to sort of, have character development. So I understand that, but I still didn't think it was great. Also, I didn't think it was great from the perspective of they never really dove into Greek life. Other than that, I was about to say
the movie is specifically about Hell Week.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Which is fine because they accomplished that.
But I think again that's. But I think okay. So wait.
But it kind of distorts things.
It distorts things, right? Because you're only focusing on the most intense week of the pledge process, mm-hmm. the very end, the culmination, which is actually supposed to be your hardest week physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. But the other thing is, I guess my whole thing, and I guess I have to watch it to kind of see, what's the I guess my problem was, what's the fucking point of the movie? Greeks don't need to see the movie. And if you're doing the movie for non-Greeks, you got to add some context, right? Is it an edict against hazing? Is it an edict against underground pledging? Is it, because we all know it's problematic, but it's problematic in different ways in every case. It's not always just people beating somebody's ass. Like, there's levels to it. And when people don't know anything about Greek culture, it's just so easy for people to look at something like this and just be like, oh, that's all.
And there was also no contrast. Right. So now I get and I understand that you're sort of focused on this one fraternity. Right. Yeah. But there was no contrast.
Like, what even about the Brotherhood? Week. What about
Of Hell Week? Right. Okay. So what you do is you take this one particular Greek organization, mm-hmm. and they're clearly a big organization. Mm-hmm. Right. And you sort of dictate, this is what happens. And your assumption is that while, you know, I guess, do we get spoilers here? I
mean, yeah, we can.
Yeah,
I mean, it's on Netflix, nigga.
Go on to watch.
So a kid dies,
yeah,
right? And then other kids hurt, right? So the assumption is that even when someone doesn't die and they make it through, like, they're really brutalized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no contrast showing any other...
To make it seem like, why would you want these guys to be your brothers?
And why is this fraternity mm-hmm. doing that? Is that normal for all fraternities? There was no context and contrast. You. And so that was my issue with the movie. The movie itself, I thought, was written very haphazardly. It felt like... Listen, no disrespect to the writers and the people who created this. I'm not trying to shit on them. I'm just saying,
mm-hmm. right.
when I watched the movie, I did not feel like it was a well thought out movie.
I think what I read about it, and I'm talking shit because I don't know, but I read that they shot the movie in 18 days.
I absolutely believe that, and the Hell Night,
they actually shot all those scenes in one night. So I'm assuming. That maybe
probably
he had,
they wanted them legit tired and cranky.
That definitely. I think they really kind of put the kids through it. Also, I think that maybe the guy might have more depth, but he didn't have the money. So he's like, I got 18 days to shoot this shit. Some things are going to have to kind of get cut. Because there's a couple things. I agree with you, definitely an Alfie Woodard character. And somebody brought up a good point when we were talking earlier today. There's the girl character, not his girlfriend.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
The girl who I think was supposed to kind of probably be an AKA.
Yes.
The one from class.
Yes.
I was like, well, where that looked like
what
that.
What happened?
Yeah, it looked like that relationship was going to turn into something, and it just ceased.
And to be perfectly fair, like, I mean, listen, I'm 40. I'm not a fucking 19-year-old kid in college, but, like, the way they shot her, she kind of got turned on because he said one thing in class. Like, nigga, was this the first day in class? Like, he never said nothing in class.
Yeah.
That was smart. You know, it felt, when you say that they shot this in 18 days.
You feel it.
It absolutely, these things now make sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense that you would have this, that, and the other. I would say that the acting was actually good.
Yeah, Trevor Jackson was the lead. Is a great actor. I've been blowing everybody's mind. Do you know who his girlfriend he broke up
everybody
with?
Hates Chris.
Yeah, the that's little the little girlfriend. That's
everybody
little
hates Chris. Nobody in the very weird. That.
Yeah,
because there's a sex scene.
Like a straight up sex scene.
When you realize that the little girl from Everybody Hates
Chris.
Like,
oh no! Where your mom at? Put the clothes on, girl.
Oh,
I want to see your naked guy. No, put that. Put it away. No, stop it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but. This is my thing.
She's grown.
Yeah. She's grown up now, but this is my thing about the movie in general. Does it have flaws? Yeah. I'm not Greek, so there's things that I'm sure that a Greek person would see and find maybe even more flaws. Or maybe not. I don't know. Again, the guy who wrote it and directed it is Greek, so I'm sure he put things in there. But I will say this. I appreciate that we have this movie.
Okay.
Out.
Why?
Just for the whole black, what's it called? Dysphoria? That's the word I'm looking for.
Diaspora?
Diaspora.
Why can't we just keep watching School Days?
Well, because School Days is old as hell.
Shit is still relevant.
I know, but to those kids in my office who are all 27 and under, they don't give a shit about no damn School Days.
They wasn't even born.
That's what I'm saying.
School Days.
I'm glad we have this movie specifically because it's about Greek life. I just mean that in the big
black
picture of Moonlight and
Hidden
Figures, but to have another movie in that black, what's the word?
diaspora.
Yeah, and that you know the word, the diaper.
Yeah,
yeah. But, I mean, and the big picture of that, I'm glad this is another movie we could put in
now.
In the
that's cool, but I just feel like when you're telling a story of a specific experience and you don't put it in the proper
but
context,
I gotta,
especially an experience that people are quick to judge.
I got you.
But let me.
But
ask
I got
this,
let me just say this one thing. But I got you. And again, I'm not Greek, but I've said this to people. I saw people online kind of have your stance too, who I'm assuming were Greek. It's just like with everything I say, like, you should at least watch it first.
That's true.
Before you body it. Now,
and you might still body it. Yeah.
You might still body it.
Oh, no, she's going to body it.
But at least watch it first. Yeah.
I think my other thing is just, like, I have a problem with, like, it's like not that I think that everything that Greeks do need to be super secret and all this other shit, but it's just, like I said, just, like, what's the purpose? Like, even if the purpose is to highlight or condemn Hazen, because somebody said it seemed to be a conversation, which is there's a whole nother Hazen conversation about the fact that once all the organizations banned Hazen and it went underground, that's when it got under control because motherfuckers are just making up shit. Whereas it used to, like in the school days era, it was all above ground.
Above
like you knew
yeah.
what was going on. So there was a little bit more control because you could physically see everything that was happening. But I might watch it. I'm not promising. I might watch it on a plane.
I would be curious to see, and I'm going to just say the elephant in the room for me, is I want to be curious to see how Greeks react to this in the way that they reacted to sorority sisters.
Well, it's a little bit different.
Because, well, hold on now. Because this is a very, from what I'm gathering by all Greeks, this is a very negative movie in the grand scheme of Greek life. That they are taking these one facets of Greek life and they're you know, sort of highlighting its flaws. And I'm using air quotes.
Right.
So all I'm saying is it just seems to me like
there
for something
be the same
that
backlash?
No, not the same backlash, because I'm clear that it's different.
Right.
But I'm saying that it doesn't seem to be any backlash.
Well, I think here's the difference. I think part of the difference is that you do have a faction of Greeks, and especially older Greeks, who feel like the story, like this story's true somewhere. No matter how outlandish it is, even without seeing it, I can tell you it's true somewhere. The problem with sorority sisters specifically, there's another thing where like men aren't the people who spearhead shit like this also. And I know that sounds fucked up for me to say, but this is highlighting the male experience specifically, not the sorority experience. The problem that we had, and I'm saying we because I'm a Greek who also had problems with sorority sisters, was that these ladies like willfully didn't embody any of the virtues of any of our organizations. Like, they got on camera willfully. It wasn't necessarily about the show, it's about them.
Okay,
they
got
on camera willfully and acted the exact opposite of everything we're supposed to represent.
Okay, but in this particular case, this guy who is a Omega,
right?
I'm almost positive that there's some sort of code of honor
there's
and secrecy, and there's discretion.
Yeah, there's discretion,
there is,
but there's also we're anti-hazing. So there's also, like, depending on how old he is,
I think he's trying to tell a cautionary tale. At his picture, he looked to be maybe 35.
I hear you. I think he's trying to tell a cautionary tale. And trust me, I know a lot of Omegas. He's going to get some heat from his frat. They may not do it publicly.
Which is my issue. Because they were very public.
Right.
They were very public and very conscious about their public attack.
Right.
On my wife. Like, they they make no mistake about it. That was not, they didn't sugarcoat that shit. They didn't tap dance on it. And I'm not mad. That came with the territory.
With the
I mean, I'm mad because that's my wife.
But that came with the territory.
And I understood that.
Right.
And they were being very protective. And it seems to me like they're not being so protective now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, I think there also is the fact that, like, And again, I'm only just playing devil's
advocate. And it's still early, because this movie just came out.
I'm also playing devil's advocate here. Sorority Sisters was on a network TV show with advertisers and commercial advertising on primetime following a really heavily rated show. Vernon Sands, I ain't seen no promotion. I ain't seen no whatever. Like, you got to seek it out and go watch it. So it's like,
It's on Netflix,
but it's on demand viewing. It's not like, hey, let me write to fucking Blistex and tell them not to advertise. You know what I mean? Like,
you could write to Netflix and say, I'm going to cancel my subscription. I'm just saying,
true.
there is And I'm not saying that I want them to do this, because I'm not advocating for that.
You're just looking at,
I'm just saying,
like, it's a double standard kind of thing.
It's not even kinda. It's a double standard in that sense. And that's fine. And listen, I wish these guys well. I don't think this movie was good, but I think these guys are talented.
The other thing, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but the other thing about Sorority Sisters that was really problematic is that it wasn't fiction. These women were actually members of our organization.
Okay, that guy who wrote and directed this is an actual member organization. I would be hard pressed. That story is only fictional because he would never get clearance to actually use
the people or Omega.
And that was the other thing. Like, our insignia was being used. Our letters were being used. They were wearing.
I didn't really watch. I mean, obviously,
like, all of those things were happening with real members of our organizations in that TV show. Like, these were actual members of our organizations, like, being followed on camera, and doing so under the guise not of themselves as individuals, but of themselves as members of this organization. So I understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to dismiss it. I'm just trying to say that it's not quite apples to apples. Because reality TV versus scripted is a little different. And granted, he's taking it from his own experiences, but it's also the difference between what FAMU would be doing right now if the Quad was a reality show on FAMU versus the Quad being a scripted show taken largely from the annals of FAMU.
But I was just about to say that, bring the Quad thing into it, because I know, I don't know how many people wrote, but I know the president of Hampton, which is a very big, prestigious black university, went ham and wrote a huge letter disrespecting, saying how he hates the Quad. So I think everything that you guys are saying comes with, there's certain parts of kind of black life that I think that a lot of black people
are still super protective
of. Yeah, don't want above ground. Whether it's fraternities or sororities, a lot of HBCU stuff, the Lynx, the Masons,
the Jack
and Jill shit.
And
like, you know,
this is the last
stuff.
Thing I'm going to say about this. That guy has an experience in a fraternity.
Talking about the guy who
wrote and directed and did all of this with this movie. You can't tell me that does not play a part. His real connection to a fraternity does not play a part in visualizing this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm saying that he's also benefiting from the fact that he's a real person in a real fraternity. Because if this was Joe Schmo who went to, you know, Howard for 3 years and didn't graduate, he couldn't do this shit. He couldn't do this movie.
Yeah.
He would be, if somebody who was
Greek.
If
a non-Greek did the movie. If somebody was not Greek. Story. You're right. Because we'd be like,
different.
Who are you to tell my story?
So he is benefiting from the privilege of being able to wear his pin and go to his meetings and pay his dues and do all the other shit that comes along with it. And he's probably an honorable dude. I don't know him. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about him. But that's all. That was the last thing.
Because that was one of the, we'll move on. But that was one of the points you talked about earlier today. when people say, like, you know, we don't want, you know, the story told in this way or whatever, but it's like, well, then who else can tell the story?
Right.
But the dude, I guess, or I brought up the guys, not even robbing them, but the guys that did, what was it, You Got Served? They were alphas, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and they got a little beef when that came out because they used some of the same steps as the alpha youth. But it's like, who else can tell these stories except people that are in the organization? So either these stories just never get told publicly ever.
You gotta tell them with balance, though. And I think that's the problem is that they
never
get...
But I think You Got Served was a pretty balanced movie, and they got heat.
I don't remember that movie.
You remember that with Chris Brown when he got killed?
I mean, I remember it, but I don't really remember.
The boy was dancing in the pool with Neo.
With
Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
The rain.
Columbus. Columbus Short.
But again, that's my thing. The very fact that this movie was called The Burning Sands already just made me like, here we go.
All right, we'll move on, though. That was a good discussion. So I wanted to bring up real quick, to lighten the mood a little bit, that for years has been a story that Penny, Janet Jackson, and James Barr, the one that's still off and on that stuff all his life, have fathered a child. And this story has picked up some steam within the past, I say, 3 to 6 months. There was rumors that because the Barge mom came, somebody put a mic in her face, and she said, yeah, they had a baby. And they gave the baby up for adoption or something crazy, whatever. And so that started to steam up again. And then Bunny DeBarge came out and was like, you know, mama's old. Right. She don't, you know, her memory not good like it used to be. And she, they did, Bunny said, if I'm not mistaken, Bunny said they did have a child, but the child either was, I think she miscarried. She was pregnant, and I think Janet miscarried. And somehow Bunny got, mom got her mind that this child was born, but, you know, mom, she's got to be probably close to 80 now, the mom. If not older.
Yeah.
Because them DeBarge boys is in their 50s.
Yeah.
Deep
yeah.
50s.
Yeah, because their oldest brother would have been about 60.
Absolutely. Yeah, so yeah. She could be 80 plus.
Yeah.
So that was a whole thing on the blogs. And then now, this week, some gal came out, Tiffany White, and claimed for 31 years she's been waiting and she wants to know the truth. She's a Philadelphia native, and she claims that she is Janet and James DeBarge's long abandoned child.
But she don't look like sure. not nail or nothing.
She looked like Floyd Evans.
Not nothing with a wig on.
She, like,
she don't look like
she looked like Weezy.
She don't even look like Jackson's pre nose job.
She,
like,
hold she don't look like, not at all.
Like not nothing.
Wait, first yeah, this
she ain't got near DeBarge feature, near Jackson original feature.
She 31.
I was just
Janet's only
say,
50.
No. Fuck that. So, when did she have her? During the pleasure
this is what I'm,
video?
This is my point.
Like, the math. Like the math,
the math is
yeah,
off.
Yeah. Yeah. Janet you ain't carrying the one, my yeah. nigga. Like, you are not carrying the one.
But she doesn't, you know, of course, radar online. And,
but
know,
I think.
No disrespect to the blogs. Or,
nah,
or
I'm going to give a little disrespect. This is me talking. I'm going to give a little disrespect. Because this is my issue with these blogs.
Blogs and these, Instagram blogs.
Because these blogs feed such a salacious appetite for people. And they believe everything and run with it. They have really made themselves a business on absolutely, you know, just really
making up shit,
just fucking with people.
Yeah,
like that's just crazy to me that you can do that. And they ain't got pot nor window. And right. So this is not an established media outlet that she can go after.
Yeah,
you and know, I had never even heard of this blog.
And that's the point. And so yes, when Bunny DeBarge is saying mama and them, you know, she getting old, or yeah. when James and them are out there talking, like, first of all, you know, listen, no disrespect, that entire family has struggled with narcotics for yeah. 40
Forever.
Years. The yeah. entire family.
Yeah, everybody.
And so
in and out of jail.
There is nothing that you could ever, there's nothing they could ever say that I wouldn't doubt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I just feel like if you gave them, you know what I'm saying, $45.
They say,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You gave them $37, whatever was in your pocket at the time. They'll sit down and they'll say whatever you need them to say.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. I feel yeah. like somebody went to that old lady
yeah.
and figured they could do something like
yep.
this.
Throw
they
a few dollars get traffic, in her pocket.
Throw a few dollars in her pocket. What did you give her? $200, $300? You bought maybe. a church hat or yeah, something? Exactly. You know, take it down. You know what I'm saying? Take it down to Sears, get a new wash and dryer.
I needed some new inserts for my shoes. Thank
yeah,
you, baby.
You know what I'm saying? And that's where we are now.
Yeah.
And people have wanted to believe that Janet has had this baby, and the long-standing alleged rumor was that she had a baby, and Rebe took the baby, and Rebe yeah. raised the baby on her own.
Yeah, that was a good rumor.
That rumor was going hard for about a good yep. 12 to 13
years. Oh, wait,
years.
But that's a spin-off.
But that's a spin-off. I don't know.
Are we sure maybe don't have a baby?
We're not sure. And I told you the rumor, that spins off the rumor that, Janet, Janet was,
Rebe's daughter.
Yeah. Rebe's daughter. And then, but Catherine took Janet as her own and raised her. But actually, that's been the rumor.
So that's the spin.
That Rebe had Janet when she was a child. Because Rebe's since the 70s.
Yeah. Rebe's like 65.
Yeah, 65, 66.
Her and Jackie are old.
The numbers yeah. work out. And yeah. so she had Janet when she was about 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then they didn't have no bread. And so Catherine's like, well, I'm going to take this baby. You know, like us black
people. Yeah, black that's what we did.
So I was like, well, it makes sense to me. I ran with that.
And then I guess that would make the grandbaby. So then it make perfect sense for her to take the grandbaby.
And why not? Because that's what we do.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because I ain't got no money. Nothing. At all.
Don't come at me. I ain't got the money for the stamp. You know? So, I mean, I was going to say, we're going to see where this turns out. But
I mean, at some point, I feel bad for, you know, Janet, and she's probably not concerned with this.
She's still on bed rest, correct?
And if their family's probably
oh, Janet?
Not.
Or
yeah. Janet.
No,
she
I don't think
she's
on bed rest.
Why would she still be yeah. on bed rest?
Janet had the baby?
Yeah.
Nigga, we been talking
Janet
about
had that baby?
You know what?
The baby got to be about 5 months old now, nigga.
We don't talked about this so many times. Yes, Jada, how long have you been?
She had that child. When Jada had that child? What's the child name?
Oh, I don't know.
They christened the baby.
No, Jada is Muslim.
That's why she don't be showing
her. They raised that baby Muslim.
Baby can't have no Christmas.
Baby can't have no bacon.
Baby can't have no Christmas.
Baby can't have no Christmas.
That baby ham sandwich is hungry.
Catherine will get that baby some toys. You can believe that.
I'm gonna tell your mother.
Yeah.
We leave the toys here. Oh shit, she had to.
Yes, nigga.
Have we seen pictures?
Nah, here you go. But you know how many times we've referenced the fact that you don't believe Janet had a baby because you ain't seen the picture. Because we actually talked about it when she had the baby. And he was like, I need to see the picture.
I need photographic evidence that this baby is good. Now, I hope the baby's healthy. I'm not wishing no bad on this child, but I just don't want to see.
But even when you see the picture, you're going to be like, Janet ain't had that baby.
That ain't her baby.
Yeah. I know.
Look at that nose. Look at that nose. She pinching the nose trying to make it slim now. Yeah, so, I mean, peace to this lady, Tiffany White. Jesus Christ, I mean.
That math is all wrong. That math is completely wrong. Like, 86 is control.
Yeah, no doubt. She was dancing and jumping around.
86 is control.
Yeah, and she was getting it popping.
And there was almost no gap from, I think, like, that first album was, like, 85.
Control was 86. You talking about the one with the...
With her in the water.
In the water. Yes.
So that's 85.
I was 84. And then Control was 86. Right. 87. No, 87 was Control. And then 89 was Rhythm Nation. But again, there was no real gaps because she was working.
At all. She was on tours.
I'm sorry, Tiffany. And Tiffany live in Philly. Now, Janet ain't no baby in no Philly.
Man,
she
ain't no baby
in
no Philly. What's she doing in Philly? How the hell she get to Philly?
Oh, peace to Joni Sledge.
Oh, right. Joni Sledge passed
away. My long-lost cousins. Yeah, she was 60 years old. They haven't said the cause of death. She's passed away. It doesn't...
Yeah.
She's gone. So we want to say peace to her and the family. I want to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. Did y'all watch?
I did.
Yeah.
So.
I did indeed.
I'm going to say this for Real Housewives of Atlanta. This season's been explosive. They earning their bread.
They did, but they're pushing it. Like, a lot of it.
It's not fun. I'm not saying it's a fun season to watch. It's like a shocking season. Like, every episode, it's like, holy shit. It's more of that than an actual fun episode. But they got you locked in. And there's still, what, at least one or two more episodes left? Before reunion? Because last week wasn't the last one.
They have a few more. I think they're mid-season. Yeah, because they do, like, 22.
Because they did a whole other trailer. They did a whole other trailer, which suggests that there's, like...
Dude, they damn near on a whole year.
Yeah, they did like Still to Come on this season of, which suggested.
Oh, they did a Still to Come
on? Yeah, which suggested there's like, you know how a they lot do that more kind to of go. Mid-season? Yeah.
There's like 22 episodes, and then the reunion.
Which, that's the other thing, is like, they haven't even shot the reunion yet, which that's going to be interesting.
So this week passed, there was a second part of them being in Hawaii on a quick weekend getaway.
Which still doesn't make sense.
Ridiculous. Shit hits the fan even more with Portia and Candy, to the point where Candy's just kind of like, look, I'm tired of it, you lying. You know, she pulls receipts out, she proves Portia's lying.
Right.
Portia's just trying to stick to the lie because she's just out here looking crazy. And so they all go on a speedboat ride. Portia stays behind. The speedboat ride, that didn't look fun to me.
Nope.
Did that look fun to you?
What's that?
They was all dressed up. Cause they thought they was getting on yachts and shit.
That's what they do. Cause well, they're 50. No.
Actually, only,
exactly. With actually, Frankie the Beverly one, playing in the
band. The only one who was dressed was
Cynthia.
Because Candy actually told the rest of them, like, you're gonna get wet. Like,
oh, she did?
Yeah, she said, we're going on speedboat, you're going to get wet. She told the rest of them that, but they didn't want their hair to get wet and all sorts of shit.
I thought none of them knew.
I would have never.
Yeah, that didn't look too much fun.
It didn't look fun at all.
I just didn't get the point.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get the point. Like, why was it?
Because you can't really chill.
Yeah, you're not chilling. You're just bouncing around getting beat up.
Somebody falling in the water. That's what you should be hoping for. Somebody falling in the water. Somebody falling in the water. You know, it's good shit. Yep. Kenya falls in the water. You know, something like that. Somebody come on. I mean, that's great television.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, while they all go on the speedboat, Candy suggests that Portia stay behind. And at first, Portia's offended, like, why did I stay behind when she was the one who's mad at me? And I wanted to be like, bitch, because it's her trip. Like,
yeah.
So you stay behind. Like, she's actually.
And people forget, Portia wasn't supposed to even come.
Nah.
Why would you, and why would you want to go?
Like, why would you want to go? She was really like, well, why I got to stay behind when she the one got. And I can't believe it's ironic that she asked me to stay behind when she the one who's so hot and bothered. That's why she's asking you to stay behind. This is actually what adults do.
Yeah.
This is actually what adults do. Adults actually say, you stay over there.
Yeah, because Portia's a 14-year-old. Exactly. In a 36-year-old body, that's why.
Exactly.
So, like you said, she stays behind, and that happens, and then I feel like I'm missing the part.
Can we just interject?
On the way to the boat, the conversation happens between Bob and Sheree.
Okay, but we're going to get back to that. So, do the interjection first.
Phaedra in the bathing suit.
Okay. She got to stop. She has to stop.
In the room.
She has to stop.
With the boyfriend in the room.
She has to stop.
So, listen. She has to be stopped. Listen, I'm absolutely not approved. I just thought that was highly inappropriate.
But she's done this many times before.
I just thought it was, for someone who has felt slighted about someone else doing that around and in front and with her husband,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it was really inappropriate. I felt like, am I the only one that sees that as being inappropriate? That
it looks, was mad inappropriate.
It looks crazy. And then she's turning around
like, oh, what's in my
pulling,
ass?
Yeah, and pulling out her ass and all that. And dude is like looking down.
Yeah, he's trying not to look.
You can clearly see he's like, oh my God, this is wild uncomfortable.
Yeah, right, like, stop.
I don't know nothing about that nigga at all. But I kind of like the way he's been carrying himself on these episodes. Like, he seems like a regular nigga. Yeah, he's like, hey, man, I'm just here for the ride.
It's like he's not getting caught good. Up.
Like, I'm rocking, but, like, he ain't getting caught up. He ain't talking crazy to nobody.
He ain't really jumped in on nothing.
He just sitting back. Like, even with that shit with Phaedra, he trying to look down.
I think that's weird still, but, I mean, I feel you on how he's behaved on this trip.
Yeah,
I still think there's something weird about him. I can't really put my finger on him altogether.
Okay. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. The Phaedra was out of line. I think Phaedra's suffering from being on this trip and nobody there with her.
But Phaedra does this on every trip.
That's true, because even when Apollo was there, she was doing
And they gave us a nice little flashback to remind us this is how she act on every motherfucking every trip.
So why do you think she act like that? She just like attention?
She needs attention. The whole reason she's on the show. Phaedra's whole shit is about attention. Like, she wants to be in whatever environment she's in. She wants to be the most whatever in the environment. So if she around the saints, she gonna be the most saintly. If she around some educated activists, she gonna be the most active. If she's with the girls at the pool, she gonna try to keep up with Portia. You know what I mean? It's like,
I got you.
It's too much. She just needs to, I don't know, like. And I mean, it's great to have a healthy self-esteem, I suppose. But Phaedra, you are a full auntie boo. Like, love yourself, but like, come on.
You're now
like,
divorced with two kids. And that's, I mean, you can get somebody else. I'm not saying she needs to go to the old folks home, but like, you know, play your position.
You're wearing the shit that that the strippers buy.
Yeah, you wearing the shit that you wear the freak nick and
Yeah,
like,
I'm like, where you even buy that? You bought it, like, you buying shit on Instagram. Like, I'm just like,
Mr. Earl and them on the beach.
Oh, hell yeah, they looking
all right.
They looking good, boy.
See them angles, boy?
Boy, you know what that mean. So, but the thing that caught me out there more than anything, everybody, was Bob and Sheree.
Right.
So they're on the way to the boat.
We gotta talk about how Phaedra got dead ass caught lying too, but we'll come back to that.
Okay, so they're on the way to the boat. They're discussing. What are they discussing?
They're discussing Bob and Sheree's past. They were discussing Bob and Sheree's past, and Bob is saying, were they talking about somebody else?
They were talking about somebody else.
Were they talking about Candy's violence? Were they talking about how mad about Candy was? Something?
They were talking, somehow, I think the conversation veered from Kenya and Matt.
And he was like,
you know, have I ever, you know, done something to you? Have I ever put my hands on you?
Yeah, and then Sheree just looks at him almost like, nigga, you really want me to ask this question?
And he's
like, really, nigga?
Again, this is what I referred to before. I hate that those women keep, they're constantly put in that position to defend black men.
Yeah.
She did not, with every fiber of her being,
she didn't want to have that conversation.
She did not want to say that shit, and definitely didn't want to say it on camera.
Yeah.
Because she, not only, it almost like you can feel that she knew what that meant when she opened that door, that she could never close that door again.
But then she says, yes, but she says, I mean, she's mic, so you can hear it, but she says it kind of low, almost as like, like, nigga, like, you want to change the subject, nigga, like, I don't want to talk about this
now. And he's like, well, did I ever choke you?
Yeah, you did.
And then she was like,
yeah, you've done it before. And he says, oh, well, maybe I ain't choke you hard enough. And then Sheree,
because I don't remember. Or he said it, so, like, he added something. It wasn't just maybe I didn't choke you hard enough.
He said, did I ever choke you? Maybe he's like, maybe I did. I don't remember.
And then he was like, maybe I didn't choke you hard enough because I don't remember. Like, he made a joke out of it. That was the problem. He made a joke out of it.
And you can see Kenya cringing in the back.
Yeah.
And
cringing. And then of course, Sheree's
crying.
Breaks down.
Bob is like half laughing.
Like what's wrong with you, girl?
Phaedra's in the back mouthing, like, apologize, nigga. And Bob's like, what?
Like, for what? Like, I'm just
so then Bob is like, says a whole bunch of shit, none of which is I'm sorry.
None.
I hate to see you like this. I hate it when I'm the one who makes you like this. You know, I got your back. Like, none of that is I'm sorry, nigga.
Yeah, none of it.
None of it.
So Sheree's fucked up.
Because she's like, okay, now I actually, like, that took me back.
Yeah.
So all the shit I went through with him.
Some fucked up
shit. Because Bob was really like, I remember enough of the first couple of episodes, not that I was on Team Sheree because she was doing the most, but Bob was horrible.
Yeah, he was horrible.
And he was barely on the show when I knew he was horrible.
Remember, he got it to the point where Sheree had them kids sleeping on air mattresses.
Yeah, because he got them evicted.
He wouldn't pay no money.
Yeah.
Well,
he was supposed to be paying the mortgage as terms of the divorce, and he just didn't.
He just didn't. Like, fuck you. Yeah. So then, because remember they did flashbacks when they was in court and all this shit, and when she threw the water on Bob and all that.
Yeah.
So later on, Bob goes downstairs into the hotel to the jewelry store. He wants to buy Sheree a ring, but Sheree's still, you know, upset about
like
the whole shit.
Right.
So and Sheree doesn't know that he's in the jewelry store to buy a ring. So she walks in like, oh, what's going on here?
Right.
So he sits down, and then, you know, she brings up what happened. And Bob is kind of like, again, like you said, like half laughing.
Yeah.
And she's like, yo, like, you know, like, that shit really fucked me up. And you're here laughing about it.
And apparently one of her problems with them not being able to move on is the fact that Bob is completely incapable of apologizing.
You could see it. That, like, you ever. Can see it.
Yeah. It's like impossible for him to say the words. He'll say everything else.
But that.
Yeah.
So she gets up very upset, walks out. You know, like, I can't fuck with you no more. And this nigga's like, I'm not laughing as he's laughing.
Yeah, he literally said, I'm
he's
not
like,
laughing.
He's like, yo, I'm not laughing.
And
yo,
maybe he's one
laughing?
Of them. And I do know people who,
the nervous
when
shit.
Situations get really awkward or really tense, they laugh. Like, they really can't help it.
Yeah.
But that is, it's infuriating.
Like, your ex, well, your ex or whatever, your wife, the girl you're trying to get back with,
right.
Literally walked out of this store, like, crying from thinking about the abuse and the things you took her through. And you, like, giggling. Like, my nigga, like, what are we
that
doing
shit is
here?
I know people who do that. The shit is, it makes me want to punch them in the mouth. It's infuriating.
I felt really bad for Sheree, man.
Yeah, and you know, Sheree was also like, I'm sitting here trying to help my girls through situations, and like, I can't in good conscience if I'm still fucking with Bob. And also, like, he hasn't changed. Like, that was the bigger thing.
Yeah.
She was like, he hasn't.
She's like, I knew it.
Yeah, she was like, I thought he had changed, but he really hasn't changed. But going back to Kenya, who's also a horrible person. So, like, they're trying... So, they have, like, this whole restoration.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Kenya's, like... Somehow it comes back to how the whole Bob thing came up in the first place, which was that Sheree was saying something about Kenya and Matt. And Kenya was like, well, you done got your ass jumped on by an ex, too. So, I don't even know why you bringing it up. And Sheree is basically like, how do you use that? Like, how is that your jab that I got my ass beat? Like, how is that okay for you to use it as a jab? And Kenya's like, well, you were, you know, you should never have said that about me. You should never hold a woman responsible. And she's like, okay, but you clearly held me responsible too. You know, but Kenya is also another person. Like, she can never take ownership ever of herself.
I can't front. I kind of was agreeing with Kenya on that.
Me too.
Because Kenya was like, you know, when you listen, when they went back and you listen to Sheree, she was kind of like, yo, you know, Kenya, you know, she could provoke somebody to whoop her ass. She'll push it in, and I think, you know, and this is what I always say, like, the problem with Kenya is that she goes so extreme when she has the leverage that you forget that she was right. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I get it, but I think there was something valid in what Kenya said, but my issue with Kenya and the Matt conversation is twofold. The first thing is that, to our knowledge, or to what she shared, Matt has never actually laid hands on Kenya. Mm. And the second thing is that she keeps saying all of this stuff about what people should and shouldn't say about women in domestic violence situations while she's still fucking with Matt.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't... So, like, what's your point, Kenya? You know what I mean?
But my point to that
still fucking with the dude, but at the same time, you're like, you shouldn't be hot, like, but yeah, you're still fucking with him.
My point to that conversation was, it felt like to me that Sheree was obviously still very upset, and she was embarrassed by what happened, mm-hmm. and Kenya was an easy target for her to take her frustration out on. That's right. What I felt like. Like, she went, mm-hmm. she came in and went at Kenya when she didn't really have to. Like, she was just, she was mad at you know, what's his name, Bob, rightly so, because he's ridiculous, and she was embarrassed, and Kenya right. was there, and so she was like, I'm going to take it out on you because it's easy.
Yes. Well, Kenya doesn't make it easy to not want to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she absolutely... Listen, Kenya's a very easy person to not like.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And she's a... And, but it was clear deflection.
It was deflection.
It was clear that Sheree was, you know, upset. She was upset that this was now sort of public knowledge.
Yeah, because nobody knew.
And right. she loses the moral high ground
yeah. mm-hmm.
that she loved to stand on, especially when talking about Kenya and how she provokes people.
Yeah.
And so now what?
Yeah.
Now you've had your ass beat too. How do you feel?
Exactly.
You right. know what I'm saying? It's not like, and that's what I think Kenya
but
was trying to
But that's the thing,
point.
Like Kenya ain't even, but I guess that's why I'm thinking it's false equivalencies, because Kenya goes to the, yeah, but you had your ass beat, but you're doing it in a conversation about a man who is doing physical damage to your property when people are asking you why you're still fucking with this nigga, and you're defending the fact that you're still fucking with this nigga, but at the same time you want to play the victim card. It can't
but
go
I think,
both
but
ways.
But I think that she was looking for Sheree, and it was a little bit of pot and kettle.
Right.
And she was looking at Sheree like, my nigga, you be with Bob chilling now.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it seem like it's so cut and dry for me.
Right.
In my situation, yeah. when it wasn't
been cut, in Hawaii with you,
and it wasn't right. cut and dry with you and Bob,
yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that was her point. I clearly, it's not the same relationship.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's apples to apples, but in her mind,
right.
I can see how you would make that
yeah.
equivalency.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
yo, like you doing the same shit.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, so we got 400 episodes right. left. Yeah.
Well, let me just say this about Phaedra, about Saint Prophetess Phaedra. So, Phaedra sits up here and organizes this whole restoration, the crux of which is still Kenya and Portia. When Phaedra started the whole shit, I still can't get over that. But now somebody yeah. came up with a theory, shout out to my girl, shout out to Ain't Shit, came up with a theory that I think is absolutely right. At the time of filming, nobody realized, because Phaedra didn't say the thing about Kenya and Shamia out loud. She mouthed it and made gestures.
Oh, yeah. She was like...
Still, nobody realizes that was caught on camera. So, there might be some kind of code. Because if you think back, when it came up at the table, it's like Sheree was having a room. When everybody was like, who said that? Sheree was like, and she brought Portia up. I think there must be something amongst them. Like, if it didn't happen on camera,
then
we don't put it on the table.
So people don't think that they really
so
caught
I
that.
Think that nobody realizes that, like, Phaedra saying the shit, being the first person to say it, was actually caught on camera.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things will probably change by the time they get to
yeah,
the reunion. I'm interested
yeah.
to see how it plays out at the reunion. But once somebody threw that theory out there, I was like, that makes all the sense in the world. Because I've been wondering why nobody has said... Nobody has been like, well, Phaedra actually
said it
first.
The whole show.
Yeah, not even Sheree.
But I think what's happening is that...
I mean, now it's become bigger than that initial comment.
But also, no. But I think they're going to revisit that at the reunion.
That's why I said it'd be interesting to see what happens at the reunion.
So I wanted to mention two other things, little small things about reality TV. Peace to Curtis and Jackie from Married to the Medicine. Helena and Curtis over in Mexico with a young tender.
No, he was in South Carolina. He wasn't.
Was that South Carolina?
He was down at Hilton Head.
That nigga drove.
Nigga.
Oh, he went to go play golf.
I told y'all, nigga.
Yeah.
I told y'all.
Yeah, the way he was acting.
I said that nigga got him a little young tender.
Yeah.
And he is being unrelentingly cantankerous and an asshole purposefully to make this a thing.
Yeah. To drive him, to give him a lane to drive to get away.
Yes, yes.
And now it makes me go, nah, I totally get why a nigga ain't go to Hawaii.
Of course.
Like, I ain't going to Hawaii. I'm mad. I went to church that morning. Where you go that afternoon, my nigga?
Nigga.
Because you knew Jackie was on a plane.
He was down at Pam's condo that he
was splitting half the cost on. Oh,
wait, this is Dr. Jackie's husband? Dr. Jackie's
husband. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't watch that show no more.
They got pictures of him with the young tender.
Oh, yeah. No, Dr. Jackie is the only one.
And you know, it's such an old player mentality. You know, you like players. All you old niggas, you're going to get knocked. In the street, like this,
absolutely.
Okay,
yeah. You think cool. Nobody don't know you?
And
right.
Like, nigga, you 6'8".
Yeah,
and you've been on TV.
Yeah,
what we doing here?
And, contrary to popular opinion, there's black people in Hilton Head.
A lot of black people. Yeah. Clearly, there were black people like, in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
It was like, come on, dude.
Yeah, nigga.
And to me, I just, I felt, I don't know Jackie. I'm just going to, because it's all based on the show.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her.
Me too.
I feel bad that they didn't sort of have an announcement, or at least he didn't give them the opportunity to say, look, this is over.
Right.
You know, I'm moving on, you know, with this over here.
Yeah. With Chantel.
And, yeah, with Chantel. You know what I'm saying? Her kid, little Larry. And we're gonna make sure that we put this out there, ooh, so man. you don't have the egg on your face.
Right. Yeah.
And Dr. Jackie is an accomplished woman.
Very much.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
She's not going to have a hard time out here in these streets.
Yeah.
So just you know.
It just makes, when you look back with that, it makes so much sense why he was being an asshole, why he's so adamant to not have
any more
kids.
Dude.
Because anything to honestly, and not even wondering why he pressed so hard to move outside the city.
That's
right, because Chantel live in the city.
That's what, he's nigga, like, he wanted to, it he was wanted too space. Hot. It was too hot. So he was, that's why he was pressing. He didn't want to be in that spot.
Yeah.
He wanted to be able to say, yo, you at home, or you are, okay, I'm going to be late.
Right.
And now I can move in the city.
I can move and groove.
You know what I'm saying? But that's such an old nigga move.
Yeah.
Like,
bam, you in Atlanta. What we talking about here?
The world is
here?
Small in Atlanta.
Yeah. Like, you don't think you ain't going to run into old Gene?
Yeah, yeah. At the Publix or the Kroger?
Yeah, like, come
yeah,
on.
With little Larry. Who boy is this?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You coach AAU with the kids on Saturday.
Yeah, so peace to them, man. And peace to Anna Van Zandt. Fix My Life is coming back in April with Neffy. I mean, among other things, but Neffy and Solo. So, did Laura Govan, was she on there before?
Laura Govan? No, I don't think so.
Because I think I read somewhere she might be on this season as well.
She need to be, goddammit. Listen, I'm not trying to shame nobody. Do what you do. Laura paid good money for that body, but put some fucking clothes on sometimes. Yeah. God damn.
And you'd be like, butt naked.
Butt naked or just every blazer ain't got no shirt under it.
Who's taking these pictures?
It's so much. She never looks comfortable ever.
And
God,
it's really
damn.
The quintessential.
And her style ain't even that fuck.
It's this quintessential of thirst. An attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
Being unattractive.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But how they,
too much.
It's just too much.
Just too much.
You know what I'm saying? Like, throwing some yoga pants. And some Air Max.
Yeah.
You know
like,
what
even
saying?
When she's trying to look relaxed and chilling, that she's naked.
It's a pose.
She's naked. Like,
yeah.
like
do the Nicole Murphy.
What?
Yeah. Nicole Murphy's always, like,
she'd be in yoga pants,
whatever.
Yeah, like,
but she's still bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, you
smoking.
And she's older than Laura, because Laura's in her mid-40s. Nicole's 50. So it's like, yo, you can be casual and be bad. You don't
and I get,
have to
like,
be
listen, Laura had
negative.
Blown up with the last pregnancy. She fought to lose the weight. You know, when
Gilbert
she first, when she first got on camera, she was bigger. She fought to lose weight. She back to being a bag. She definitely has some work done. Not no shot. It's not
God
anything
bless.
Wrong with that. Do what
after
you do.
After four kids, you can
yeah,
you know,
do what
God
you
bless.
Do. But like, ma.
Yeah, it's a lot.
What's the point? I just don't understand the point.
It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this, story that I sent around about the New York Housing Authority, New York City Housing Authority, talking about privatizing the privatizing the projects, basically public housing. So, I've been actually saying this for about a year or so now. I've been like, yo, I think this is coming because just from a geographical standpoint, in New York, I'm just talking about New York City now.
Uh-huh.
they've already kind of, when in Chicago, they just knocked them down and that's now a gentrified areas. In Atlanta, they knocked them down. Some of them are still kind of standing, but raggedy. Yeah. But, and probably some other cities too that I just don't know about. I think DC knocked theirs down. But, in New York, what's interesting, in Manhattan especially, what's interesting is that many of the housing projects are in like really great real estate spaces.
Yep.
They're like on the water, you know what I'm saying? Or they're like right on train lines.
Or they're in the middle of neighborhoods like that have grown up around them.
Exactly.
So the one in Chelsea.
Yeah.
The ones in Harlem. Matter of fact, there's
across
some.
Across from Lincoln Center.
Across from Lincoln Center. Yeah. Right across from Lincoln Center. There's some in the ones off of 125th Street on the west side of Harlem is like in what's
Grant.
Columbia. Grant. Yeah, mm-hmm. Grant House. All around that's all Columbia territory.
Even on the Brooklyn, like Marcy Projects, all that stuff around Marcy's just getting more
that's
and more Williamsburg.
That's sort of coming off of the Williamsburg. And in Bed-Stuy as well, I mean, you know, the projects that I grew up in, you know, you can't get one of those brownstones for less than $1 million.
Exactly.
That's on the next block over.
Or Farragut, which is right down by the bridge.
Right downtown.
You know, easy access.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of projects in the I'm assuming you know for those who don't know, projects were initially built for a lot of people coming home from the service back in the 30s and the 40s. So I guess they built them in certain areas so cats could be able to get back and forth easily, getting to work. And over time, like I said, you know, obviously the quality of life in a lot of them have gone down, but they're still on these spaces that are like. Probably got real estate developers drooling.
Yeah,
I've
heard a couple things. I'd heard that they, and maybe we talked about that in here. I heard at one point that they were going to try to take, because the buildings are kind of spread out on the lot. So I'd heard something about developers were looking at how they could take the spaces in between the buildings or like the spaces where the playgrounds and stuff are.
And build
and
on
do
those?
Something with that, which would be awkward.
Yeah,
and
very
weird.
Awkward because it's like I'm living in some fly shit and like across the street
is
like.
Well, it's that's a part of the process, right?
Right.
A part of the process is to not make you feel like we are pushing you out.
Right.
A part of the process is to make you feel, is to lull you in.
We're just adding something here.
Yes, this is mixed income. So
mixed income
is one of the you know, code words now, right?
Yeah.
And what they have done recently over the last maybe 5 to 7 years is that they have sort of implemented quite a few things in public housing to sort of push people out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things they did, and this was a very long time ago, was felons.
Yeah.
Like, so if you had a felony on a property, you were subjected to be evicted.
Wait, so that if you robbed old lady or something,
Mary got her grandson living with her,
and he acting
and
a fool,
he acting a fool, he got, and he tan shit
Miss
up.
Miss Mary got to go.
Everybody in that, y'all gone.
Wow.
Everybody. So that was a part of it. They started to then implement quality of life, which was. You couldn't smoke in the hallway.
No open beer bottles.
No open beer bottles. Things like that. Now, again, I want to say that there is a level of being torn here. I grew up in the projects. I understand it, right? But, like, I also grew up in the projects in the 80s.
Right.
And shit was bad.
Yeah.
And it was real bad. And I know that hindsight is 2020 now, and we know how... our prison system has, you know, given us, you know, these ultimate consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was coming next.
Yeah.
And infrastructure-wise, a lot of these buildings are, and I looked it up today, they have, it's about 400 complexes spread out in the city. So that's one of the different things about Chicago. It's like Chicago had really these sort of massive high-rises.
Yes.
Right.
And so you had a super concentrated, small space.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it all went up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in New York, for the most part, you have some projects where they go up to like the 20th floor. But most of the projects really go to like the 7th floor, you know, 6th floor, 10.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like super, super crazy. So now you have infrastructure issues.
Right.
Because the buildings are old.
The buildings are old.
You got
so you're
mold,
talking about,
yes,
mm-hmm. you have plumbing. Concrete. They're concrete structures that have not really been maintained in terms of infrastructure.
Right.
So even if you have a nice apartment, your infrastructure's crumbling.
Right.
Like, for example, they had, I was having some issues at my mom's crib in the bathroom and shit right. like that. So I had to, I literally had to send a threatening email right. to housing.
I remember you told me about that.
Yeah, like, and then they finally came and told us what happened. And basically, like, there's a hole in the roof.
Right, right.
That water is leaking down.
And trickling down.
You know what I'm saying? So these are real infrastructure yeah. problems. You just cannot have a seven-story building with crumbling concrete.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And these people aren't priority, unfortunately. Like, NYSHA
will just...
It's
90%, it's yeah. 90% black and Hispanic.
And NYSHA will just be like... And the back, and even if they were a priority, the backlog is so crazy. Like, just them trying to catch up to get everything done.
Yeah, it's insane. And so what you have is you have... Ben Carson now is a part of this, and apparently the $35 million that was slashed actually was in the process of being slashed prior to Trump and them taking office and prior okay. to Ben taking office. So, in fairness, I don't want to just, I mean,
put it on him.
It's going to be a lot of fucked up shit coming. I don't right. need to add more fucked up yeah. shit to him.
Right.
But this is an indication that they cannot sustain the way they're operating.
And it's also an indication to me, you said, I believe, you're right, a lot of stuff was already in motion. But Trump being, you know, at the core of his fucking assholeness, Trump being a New York City real estate developer, right. he's, I'm sure, met or meeting with all the other developers and saying, lit.
They can have a bunch of Stuyvesant in town.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Because Stuyvesant town is the project just made real nice.
Don't Trump own some shit on Queens? No, Left Rack is, that's not him.
That's not him.
Well, I thought he owns, I know his dad owned Leopard Gardens or something.
He did own something.
Something out there.
Remember.
So they come
but,
from
but,
that.
But yeah, and so, I mean, ultimately what you have is like, you have to, like, you're going to have to address race.
Mm-hmm.
And race was a part of why we got these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Because when our grandfathers came home from war,
yep.
they were not allowed to go to Levittown mm-hmm. and move to the suburbs. And when
tore down so many standalone homes when they were, like, building up in
yes.
the areas and stuff like that.
Well, also, you had Robin Moses, who was the city planner and urban developer.
Mm-hmm.
Who clearly and calculated a move to sort of break up neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make it incredibly difficult for people from poor sections of New York City
mm-hmm.
to be able to get to the really nice things.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It's why it's such a pain for people to get to, like, Brooklyn, I mean, like, the Botanical Gardens or the
right.
Bronx Zoo
yeah.
or those sorts of things.
Or even in Manhattan, I always tell people, like, people don't pay attention. I'm like, have you noticed? It's, you can't get to the east side.
Yes.
Like, that's the
it's
reason.
So
there's a reason there's no train on Madison
yeah.
Avenue. That's a,
yes.
It's done on Park Avenue. It's on purpose.
Yes. That's exactly.
You don't need to keep yourself over there.
Keep it over there.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
we'll place mass transit in areas that we sort of need to get the people to work in our homes to come from.
There you go.
And so now you're going to start to see more and more people. I mean, listen, if you are in a two-bedroom in a project, like, it's also not really cheap. Like, if you're a working-class
yeah.
person, like, it's not, like, super cheap. Like, this idea that everyone
they live for,
in
like,
project,
$200 a month.
Yes, like, that's not correct, okay?
Yeah.
If you're in, like, a two-bedroom apartment, dude, that's, like, around, you know, you could be paying $1,200, $1,300 a month rent. Like, I know in the grand scheme of New York, that's cheap.
Right.
But that's not cheap for a working class poor
yeah.
person. Like a person who's at Walmart doing 40 hours a week.
Right.
Like, that's not peanuts to them.
Yo, did your building have any of the, like, the big ass apartments?
You had multiple rooms. So I think in our projects, one of the bigger apartments was always the A apartment. And the A apartment had 1, 2, 3... That was a 4-bedroom apartment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's a 4-bedroom apartment with a really decent-sized living room.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd
mm-hmm.
raise a family in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then you had some other ones
yeah,
where
yeah,
it wasn't that
yeah,
big.
Yeah, yeah.
But all in all, man, the issue has become infrastructure, maintenance, things like that. I remember growing up in Brevoort where, you know, there would be curtains in the windows in the hallways. You had tenant patrol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be downstairs playing cards.
You had a cat downstairs away at the front.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
being
the guard.
All of that sort of stuff is sort of slowly but surely they, you know, have started to, you know, really sort of not even allow more people in.
Right.
Now the goal is to get people out, put working class people in, people who feel vested in the property, people who feel vested in a clean hallway, people who are going to call the police, you know, and people who are going to be a part of that. So, I mean, listen, ultimately, that's going to start to happen. I don't think it's going to be, excuse me, all of NYCHA.
Right.
Yeah, but there's going to be select spots.
I absolutely feel like Chelsea is going to feel that first.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Chelsea is going to be more difficult because that the projects in Chelsea aren't just Black and Hispanic. It's also like an artist community. So you got people who might fight a little harder.
Some white folks.
Yes. Yeah. And what they're going to do is they're going to subsidize those artists.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, hey, you know, fuck Raul and fuck Rakim.
Right.
Right. We're going to take you, Tad, and we're going to subsidize your new space on this side for 6 months or whatever. Right, and then we're going to get you straight. We're going to put you in the rent control shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's always a hustle.
Always. Yeah. The housing shit is the massive, massive hustle in New York City.
Always. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I definitely feel like this has been in the plan for a very long time.
Absolutely. This didn't happen yesterday.
Yeah. No. Red Hook.
Yeah.
Even the peas out in the Rockaways. They're absolutely... And what they might do, like you said, is they're going to start to take building by building.
Yeah.
And you're going to look up... So you take certain projects like Queensbridge and Kingsborough. So you have certain projects... They actually cross the streets.
Yeah.
So you have these really massive square miles of you know, lots. Like, I just, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think that they're going to start with those places like that.
Yeah.
Right, we'll take this side and we'll start to renovate it. And then slowly but surely, over 10, 15 years, we're going to look up and it's going to be one funky ass building left. Right. And it's going to be the seniors.
Yeah, exactly. People that just couldn't go nowhere. Like I said, even if the PJ's down on the Lower East Side, those are right on the water, the park is there.
Yeah.
Like, it's prime real estate in a lot of these places. So, like you said, we're going to see...
And they're going to sell those residents. You know what they're going to sell those residents on? They're going to sell those residents on aided houses. No. They're going to start saying, don't you guys want grass? Don't you guys want a yard?
Right.
And they're gonna start pushing their asses out to the Jamaicas, and, you know what I'm saying? And they're just gonna switch over.
Yeah,
same shit is gonna be same thing where we had white flight.
Yeah,
they're gonna come right back into the city.
Yeah, they're coming back into the city as we speak. Want to give a quick shout to Aunt Fee, who apparently did not pass away.
Yeah, I was gonna say I heard
she's not doing well. One of her family members issued a statement. Aunt Fee's not doing well. I believe she had a heart attack or some heart issues. She's 59 years old, and Stephanie has some issues, but she's not going to glory. And she's in critical condition, but she's, you know, the way they kind of said is like she might, you know, end up making it out of there. You know, hopefully she'll be, I don't know, she'll be quite the same Aunt Fee as she was, but I think it feels like she's going to end up being here with us.
Might need to change what she's cooking.
Sodium packets and all that. Yeah.
All that fried, all that Larry's.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention Trump's taxes. So last night, Rachel Maddow did this kind of build up expose on MSNBC where she said she was going to.
Well,
she got Trump's taxes, and she was going to reveal them.
Right.
What ended up happening is that she got the first two pages of
his Trump's taxes. Short form.
2005.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
2005 tax short form returns showed that he made, I think, $150 million, paid like $38 million on taxes. But the jig is, the taxes were stamped client copy.
Yeah.
And they were delivered to this journalist who's a tax expert named David K. Johnson from a Trump Tower address.
Right.
So what it looks like has happened is Trump or his people leaked those particular taxes
because it
was a great year for him. He made bread. He did pay his taxes. And
There's nothing shady in them.
We don't know it's nothing shady because only said the first two pages.
Right.
So we don't know it was shady, but he did pay taxes and he had a good year. So,
I think where it's going to backfire on them is, well, there's two things. If it didn't come from Trump, then there's definitely more to come. And I do believe that there are
there's more to come.
And I do believe that there are people out there feverishly trying to get hold of his shit. Like,
absolutely.
Day and night. Because motherfuckers are sick of his shit. Let
me just say this one quick thing. To your point about more to come, I think that what's happening now is even the hardest of hard, the hardest of the hardcore GOP people are looking, especially internally, the people that are working in the government and working in these agencies are obviously seeing way more than we're seeing.
Right.
And even they are like, yeah, we can't, even though I don't fuck with the Republicans, the Democrats,
right.
I'm glad Hillary lost, blah, blah, blah. Even with all of that, they're like, no, fam, we cannot let you and Bannon go as far as you're going. So I agree with you that there's going to be a lot more tax, a lot more everything is going to keep coming out. At least we've got constant leaks.
And if it's helped, so what my belief had always been like the GOP was holding on, and I think I said that in here, for their health care repeal and for their big tax cut. And once they got that, they were going to throw Trump to the wolves. Now that the health care plan that's been presented is such a fucking disaster, I think that we're going to see people starting to turn coat. Maybe not publicly, but on the low.
Well, some Republicans jumped out about the health care thing already.
On him as a whole.
Yeah, okay.
But going back to Matt Al and her revelation, the thing that she did prove is that people absolutely do want to know what's in his tax return.
Yes.
Because he's been claiming nobody cares but the media. Nah, niggas. Everybody was turning to Rachel. Like, my whole timeline was like, Matt.
Now, it wasn't the blockbuster reveal that...
It was a little Geraldo and Al
Capone.
I don't think it was that. Because a lot of people were already saying, if it was really that explosive, it wouldn't be like watching an hour. They would have gone to like break it.
But I just think that for someone who is trying to set themselves apart from the rest of the media with these sort of, you know, hot takes and silly shit and just, you know, I just felt like it was cheap. I really did.
Right.
I didn't expect anything from it. Like you said, it was only two pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2005. So we're talking about a full 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know the financial ups and downs that occurred within the last 11 years? This is before...
Just alone.
Dude, this is before the crash. This is before 08. Like, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's nothing in there.
But that's why they cherry-picked that one.
But so for me, for you guys to take that bait and feed that, because now what you've done is... So while you're saying that, people, you know, want to see it, the people who always wanted to see it still want to see it. We needed the people in West Virginia who didn't want to see it.
Well, they're not going to watch Matt Al ever.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
But the point is that even though they're not watching Matt Al.
Nut early.
Yes. Even though they're not watching Matt Al, the spin now is that you guys are reaching. You know what I'm saying? You guys are grasping at straws about my taxes. And, oh, shit, he paid... You know, relative to what I pay in taxes on this year.
Right.
And so it's going to buy them some time.
One thing about what you just said, and I'm going to say a couple of things, like David Kaye said that if you do the ratios, he actually paid 25%.
So even though he's supposed to be in the 37%.
Exactly.
Right.
So he actually.
Nigga, I pay 30%.
Mitt Romney was paying 12.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we went through Congress, them niggas is paying 10, 12.
Yeah,
I bet you that's the year he paid the highest percentage, though. I bet you that.
Yeah. So, So we got that last night. I'm just looking on the PUTA, and they just blocked the travel ban again.
Yeah, his new travel ban was supposed to start.
And it didn't happen. So, again, this to me goes to what you just said earlier, which is like, motherfuckers are starting to say, hey, yo, man. Nah, look, yeah, you're right. I don't really like these blacks, these Mexicans either, but, like, you're going way, way too hard. Next up is healthcare, and that's already a disaster.
A fucking disaster.
A disaster. Like, a disaster. A complete like, they dead ass asking cats, like Paul Ryan, like, how much is this going to cost? And dudes is like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, you don't know. Fam, it's almost like, just trust us?
Yeah,
like,
they don't know.
24 million people will lose care.
Yeah, no, I think it's like 20, it ended up being the White House themselves when they ran the numbers, it was more like 26 million people.
And then the CBO?
Three.
They said it was going to cost like a trillion by the time.
It's going to cost a ton of money, and it's going to raise the premiums like, it's, there's an age tax on it. Basically, the older you are, like, the higher your premiums go. Like, the shit is a
And the old people have less money, not more.
Yeah. Like, it's a fucking nightmare. There's no way in hell it's going to pass.
Yeah, so.
And it's just like, yeah.
So now he's got the...
And Trump knows it's not going to pass. And Trump apparently has said to the GOP, like, if this shit don't pass, I'm just going to let Obamacare implode, which Obamacare is not. But I'm going to let Obamacare implode, and I'm just going to blame everything on the Democrats, which to me sounds like somebody getting prepared for it not to pass.
And also what he's starting to do now will
They're setting Ryan up, too.
Exactly. Yeah. The words of her mouth. Bannon and them is starting to say, yo, this is his shit. This was Ryan's plan, not right. Trump care, Ryan care. Blame right. him for everything. So he's about to catch a L after all that. Shit he did, they try, you know, try
but that's what the fuck Ryan gets, because the only reason Ryan is in bed with Trump was to get this health care appeal. And so that's exactly what
they're about to get. Not about to put you in the crosshairs.
Yeah, like Breitbart has been going ham against this plan.
Which is Bannon.
Has been like out in Ryan on shit. Like, yeah, they set Ryan up.
Yeah, they set Ryan up for the kill. On the funny side, so Snoop Dogg put a video out where he's clowning Trump. Trump somehow saw the video, or saw a screenshot of the video, and tweeted Snoop Dogg about how, could you imagine if somebody did that to President Obama?
He'd be in jail.
So then here come Bow Wow. You got the Bow Wow tweet over there, Nye?
Oh, I don't know about Bow Wow. I just know what Chip said. What Bow Wow said?
Bow Wow jumped in.
Where's Shad come from?
Bow Wow start talking about he gonna jump Malenia.
Yeah, and pimp his wife.
You're not helping. You're not helping.
That's what everybody kept saying. Bro, sit this one out. Yeah. And honestly, like, these dudes
but
are so
big. But Tip, like, called him every fucking, like, Tip went off.
Tip went crazy on him?
Let me see.
There's a couple of things you can do.
Yeah.
And there's a few things you just can't do, okay? Threatening the first lady.
Yeah.
You cannot
threatening
do
the president. Yeah. Like, right. Listen, I hope you guys don't have...
Outstanding warrants.
Tax illegal issues. Guns, yeah. Tax issues, all that shit. If you're doing 56 and a 55, my nigga, you're getting pulled over.
So here's what Tip said. Tip says, Snoop is a fucking legend, you fucking tangerine tag, muskrat, scrotum skin, lace front, possum fur wig wearing, alternative fact, atomic dog, diarrhea face ass man. Leave our legends' names out your fucking old ass, puppy piss smelling ass mouth, and continue to focus on dividing minorities, building barriers, alienating immigrants, and fucking this country up like you've been doing. Hashtag, you want to be a dictator. Hashtag, presidential level fuckboy. So a lot of people got a hold of that one. I mean, but my thing was, you know, the president of the United States is tweeting about a Snoop Dogg video at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Thing to all these boys is, I just saw Joy Badass was just on De Sousa Miro, the show on Vice. Mm-hmm. It's actually very good. They do it like a nightly show. It's actually very funny. But anyway, he was on there as a guest, and they asked him about when Malia wore the Pro Era shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like, yo, I didn't even know how she got a hold of it. He said he woke up, and he was kind of looking at his shit, and he was like, it must be a joke. And he realized it was real. He was like, oh, shit, like, I don't know. I never talked to her. I don't know her. She somehow got a hold of his shirt, and I appreciate she's a fan. Right. And so one of them, this is Samara, was like, yo, did Secret Service call you? And he was like, yeah. They did. He was like, it wasn't no beef because I didn't do anything. Right. But he was just like, you know, he said that basically was like, yo, this was calling you, but, you know, don't retweet any more pictures. Okay. Be smooth. Like, you know, it's no problem, but just don't just keep it moving.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, no problem. I'm saying that to say, if they called him about Malia just wearing a t-shirt, Tip and Bow Wow better be and Snoop better be careful.
You cannot. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Listen,
I like Tip a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I like Snoop a lot.
I like Snoop.
Bow Wow some days.
I don't like
him. He's your annoying cousin.
No, he's that's the cousin that keep that nigga out of my house. Can't come get no ribs.
You gonna slip a plate?
No. Absolutely not. Them like you niggas have real criminal records.
Right.
For real shit. Yeah. Like this not like you niggas ain't
like, Tim, you been to jail.
Y'all niggas didn't do 90 in the county for outstanding warrants or parking tickets, my nigga. Like, Snoop, you was on trial for murder, my nigga. You cannot just be throwing out threats or that sort of shit without understanding that there's going to be consequences and repercussions to that shit. And to me, man, it's like, I mean, what is it? you know, I felt like it was posturing.
Definitely.
To a degree, mm-hmm. right? Like, I didn't feel like it was, listen, I can't stand Donald Trump. You guys know how I feel about him. You know, I'm not caping for him, but like,
Don't put yourself in the crosshairs.
My nigga,
what was your end game?
But what was your, my thing is, what was your end game? Yeah. What did you think was going to happen? Other than some adulation from black folks,
yeah,
right? What did you think this was going to turn out to be?
Yeah.
Other than a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you have kids, you have family, you have other people. See, like, shit just ain't about you sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, you got to chill.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my nigga, like.
And I get all that. I still really didn't need Trump to tweet about it. Like, you got so many other people in your vicinity who can handle it. Even with that, like, in typical Trump fashion, anybody he has a criticism about is failing. So he's like Snoop with his failing career. Like that level of fucking commentary, I don't need that from you, sir. There's massive other shit going on. Your Secretary of State is on his first trip to Asia right now with no press. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm concerned. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of...
What are you talking about?
There's a lot of other shit that you could be talking about right now other than Snoop.
This has been in his wheelhouse.
It continues to be...
He tweeted about Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I don't think we even talked about it, that nigga quit. He was like...
Yeah, I'm done.
He was like, the ratings went down, not because of me, but because as soon as they saw that Trump was still a producer...
Yeah, nobody wants to be associated.
They don't want to be associated with the show. And he was like, listen, it was a great ride. He was like, I'm out. He was like, I didn't realize how involved and how much of an influence, like, Trump was still going to be on the show.
And
much of a man's taking time to be like, Nana and the boo-boo. The fucking ratings went down. Like, you know what I mean? It's so stupid.
And just a last little shout to the Obamas, man, because they just out here swagging.
They love life. They're like, look at y'all miserable ass.
They literally looking like a polo ads. They look like a...
I'm off the clock. Like,
nigga ain't wearing no tie no more.
Yeah, like, Kayden, like, Kels said, friend to the show, Kels was like, Obama stopped wearing these motherfucking regular ass suits to impress middle America. Yeah. He's in this Tom Ford bespoke shit.
I was like, yo, I'm looking at his shit. I'm like, yo.
He like shit.
He got some shit on him, bro.
Yeah, like, that shit expensive.
Yeah. Clean ass.
You know, like, I'm looking at the way it's cut. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Clean.
Them ain't them Navy suits.
This nigga tan, smiling.
She looking all bright and cheery. Yeah. They in New York having lunch with Bono.
She got her heels on.
And they just running up in spot. Like, Malcolm, my boy Malcolm, he said that he works near the Starbucks. Remember, he went to the Starbucks at the time. Everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
He said that, he said that he goes at Starbucks. He asked one of the girls. He said the Secret Service came in, like, you know, right quick. Swept it real quick. And, like, literally, like, 2 minutes later, Obama walked in. It wasn't even, like, no big thing. And he was just like, oh, yo, let me get a latte with the... everybody's tripping. And he's like, yo, yeah, you can take some pictures, but, like, give my coffee. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like they just like, nah, I'm just out here, B.
Right.
We going to lunch.
And I love it for them. And I got so mad because last week when Trump first came out with this whole Obama tap my phones bullshit, there was this dude on MSNBC with Chris Hayes who was like, Obama needs to maybe stop having lunches with Bono and defend himself and defend America. No, motherfucker, he's off the clock. Like, that's not his job to defend America.
He's done. He's defended America for 8 years.
He's off the clock, and y'all ain't appreciate him when the fuck you had him. That's
so
why
he should not have lunch with his man and talk about him. I'm sure about humanitarian shit.
He's probably talking about some AIDS shit,
of course. Of course he is.
Like, come on. Like, he's got to start his next chapter. He's got to build his
legacy. Fuck all that. He might want to go and talk with Craig and them about the fucking Wizards and the Bulls.
Yeah, and LeBron and them.
Yeah, and fill out his bracket.
I bet he probably won these playoff games.
One? Dude, he gonna be at all the finals. I'm positive on that.
Obama needs to defend America?
You know what I'm saying? Who tell the president he can't come into the game?
Yeah. This nigga just left office.
We over here.
I bet you'd be some old ticket nigga named Earl.
Get out that seat. Shit coming in. You know, I just love it, man. I just love the swag.
You know what? Yeah. They fucking deserve deserve this high-level private citizen life.
Absolutely.
Get every dime on the table.
Well, they're like 65 already for a book deal.
That's the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that's just the first.
Wait till he does his first presidential memoirs ever.
400.
Maybe more.
He might be getting about 400.
Yeah, wait till he does his first speech.
Cake off.
Oh, they are going to cake off.
Fuck it.
They're going to cake off. But unlike most, they're going to cake off, but they're going to give back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe
they're going to take off now. They're going to be living mad.
Well, he already, no, but he already started a foundation, the Obama Foundation.
Yeah. Michelle will probably keep it with going with education and stuff.
Yeah.
That seems to be one of her things.
But they deserve a, like, it's March.
Yeah.
It's March. They've been out of office for less than 2 months.
And all of a sudden, you're supposed to be defending
them. Yeah, let them live. The fuck out of here.
So that's it. We just wanted to mention that. And we're going to go watch Black Ink and...
Oh, and Greenleaf comes back tonight.
And the Quad. And it's a whole lot.
Yeah, Greenleaf comes back on the night. Shout out to that.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.